Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and I'm trying to do Instagram. The question today is, should instruments be allowed to be played on Shabbat? Especially knowing that if you look at the book of 1 Samuel, when King Saul would call David to play an instrument before him, and it says, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, from God? Wait, let me see with my glasses. Is that right? Yeah. When the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took the harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Well, don't you think that there's people that come to Shabbat and need healing? I do. So why are instruments not allowed to be played on Shabbat? If this topic interests you, then find a place to listen for the next 30-ish minutes, and I will be right back after this message. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. I'm so glad you found me online. My music is a variety of genres, starting in the 80s as a new wave singer-songwriter, opening up for Joan Jett in Kenmore Square, Boston. From there, I wandered into different genres, exploring my faith, praise music, interfaith music, and pop, rock, indie music, as well as music for TV, film, and movies. So there's all kinds of things to learn listening to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I hope that you will enjoy the journey with me and that you will share what you hear. Thank you for listening. And again, this is Deborah Cohen, and I thank you for listening, whether you are watching on twitch.tv/Deborah Cohen Music or Instagram. My handle is Deborah Cohen Music, DOTCOM. So let's begin. I've been to services in the synagogue where on Shabbat they have instruments, but the synagogue that I attend, they only have voices, but they do have instruments on Kabbalat Shabbat. So I'm just wondering what's going on, because I know that played skillfully, meaning with the impartation of God's wisdom into the musician, that it makes a big difference and brings healing, as I mentioned before the break, when King David, or David at the time, played his instrument to Saul. Saul was remedied. The spirit, evil spirit, left him. So, you know, there's something to be said about playing an instrument skillfully on Shabbat. I believe that it's possible, not just because I'm a musician, but I have played my instrument before people on Shabbat, and God brings healing. So not every musician has the skill or the wisdom to play from the spirit or the soul. Some play just physically. And I guess maybe that's because it's a hard thing to distinguish. Who would say to a lineup of musicians, okay, you have the anointing of King David, come play on Shabbat.
I mean, how do you say that to somebody?
You know, and somebody may be a great guitarist and can do shreds and all that other fancy schmancy guitar work, but they're playing for themselves, and that's the ego, and that's the problem with any artist. Is, are you promoting yourself, or are you teaching the congregation to reach out in unity to God, which is, we're in the house of God on Shabbat. Okay, so let's start with a little bit of Hebrew.
And you'll see if you're watching live, the word song in English is Shira. And I'm getting this from a book by Rabbi Akiva Gersh. It's the 75 Hebrew words. So if you're interested in learning Hebrew, if you haven't mastered the language, and I certainly have not, which is why I'm sharing this with you, let me just read an excerpt to whet our appetite for the topic, because it could be a little bit confrontational, don't you think? Okay, so we're trying to learn here. And what I'm asking you, those who are listening, is what's the solution as far as bringing even just one instrument makes a big difference? Like, I can think the Bible has 10 songs in the Tanakh where somebody played an instrument, or there was a song of the sea. Like, for example, was that the song that Miriam grabbed her tambourine? Isn't that an instrument? Why was that okay? And it wouldn't be okay for Shabbat today to play a tambourine. Why not? I'm just saying. Okay, starting get the old brain going and ask these questions. Okay, so let me share this book with you. Page 126, excerpt 59. Shira, Hebrew for song, is a critical tool for drawing closer to God. That's what the reason that we're talking about this is to develop a more intimate relationship with God. The numerical equivalent of Shira, or song in English, is the same as that for Tefillah, prayer. For a song that comes from the heart is a form of prayer to God. Oh, whoa. Let's just feast on that sentence for a moment. Listen. Shema. The numerical equivalent of Shira, song, is the same numerical equivalent for Tefillah, prayer. Whoa. I think that's amazing. Okay. When God saved the people of Israel and drowned the terrifying Egyptian army at the Reed Sea, the people sang to God. They didn't mumble or read. They sang, S-A-N-G. Then Moses, quote, and the Israelites sang this song to God. They said, I will sing to God, for he triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. End quote, Exodus 15:1. After the awesome miracle of the splitting of the sea, mere words of thanks to God could not capture their emotions. And so Moses and the people burst into song. Oh, yes, I love it when we're singing in the congregation and, you know, people start to get warmed up in Pesukei de Zimra. If they have a leader that knows how to engage the congregation members, they're not just up there praying with themselves to God, they are including the people in the congregation. And it says, and the people, plural, burst into song. Ah, oh, that would be glorious. That's my mission, is to help the congregation to burst into song for God. Oh, yes. Let's listen on. The great Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement in 18th century Russia, used the power of song to inspire the downtrodden Jewish masses to feel the joy of God's love, despite their intense poverty and suffering at the hands of the anti-Semites. And so we can say today, yes, we are downtrodden over this war in Israel that started on October 7, 2024. Or was it 23. Oh, goodness. Joy vavoy, I say. Not oy vavoy. I say joy vavoy. Yes, time flies when you're having fun as a senior citizen. Yes, so a lot of people, rightly so, come into the Shabbat service and they feel the heaviness of Israel's current condition. So all the more reason to pray, Tefillah, Shirah, stir yourselves up and get to singing so God can meet you and do miracles for us. Yes, He knew that the song of the soul would give the people strength to bear and overcome their suffering, he meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. Many students of the Baal Shem Tov went on to become Hasidic leaders in their own communities and compose their own songs of longing for God. The Bible is also referred to as a song, as the verse says, therefore, quote, I'm quoting, write down this song and teach it to the people of Israel, end quote. And that's in Deuteronomy 31:19. There you have it. When read publicly in synagogues, the Bible is always, not sometimes, the Bible is always chanted with ancient melodies that have been passed down for generations, melodies that help the congregation absorb the powerful words of the Torah. Hallelujah. So Exodus 15:1, then Moshe Rabbeinu and the Israelites sang this song to God. They said, I will sing to God, for he triumphed gloriously. Horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. And then Deuteronomy 31:19, therefore write down this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths in order that this song may be my witness, says God, my witness against the people of Israel. Oh, that's Deuteronomy 31:19. Oh, yes, when you sing, you become very open. Your soul opens when you sing. So that's why a lot of people don't want to sing, is because they feel vulnerable. All right, so when you get into a congregation and you start singing the best that you can, and somebody beside you kind of like, well, you know, instead of feeling wounded, which, okay, I understand your feelings get hurt, mine did too, but, you know, do something about it. You know, God gives each one of us a voice, unless you're a mute, to sing to him. And if your voice is kind of, don't shut down. Instead, go take some singing lessons. That's what I did. You know, my mother said, oh, your voice, you know. I went through a period of when my mother destroyed me verbally, emotionally, and every other way. I became unhealthy about myself, wounded. So you walk around, you make excuses when, you know, you don't sing. People say, oh, I can't sing. Oh, no, you don't want to hear me sing. Oh, you know, I can't sing. Really? You can't sing? You mean you don't want to sing? That's the truth. Let's speak the truth. You don't want to put the work into developing the skills, your vocal voice, your heart voice. We all have one. We all have one. And it may take you years of training. What do you think David did with his, what was his instrument? A lute or something like that? He was playing to God while he was shepherding the sheep. So his voice became even more skilled every time he sang to God. It takes time, you know, and I know that, like, I want to keep developing my skill to sing to God. And there's all these daily chores that always seem to get in the way. So the answer is, how do you fit time in? Wake up earlier. I used to when I was a school teacher, but now that I'm married, my husband doesn't want to get up early. It's really easy to say, nah, I'll just roll over, wait till the alarm clock rings. Okay, enough of my stuff, right? You didn't come here to listen to me. So let me just make another point. This book here is my second favorite book. This is the Lev Shalem. It's our Siddur at the congregation where I go. And, you know, every week in Shabbat, what we go to page 133, and the cantor or the chazan will sing on page 133, Renenu tzadikim be'adonai lisharim nava tehila. Oh, wait a minute. What did you just sing? Renenu tzadikim be'adonai L'sharim nava tehila. What? Let me look at that in English, because he didn't sing it like that anyway. I mean, he didn't sing it anyway. He didn't sing it. But I'm learning to sing it, and I'm waiting for the opportunity to lead Pisukei de Zimra. But it says, sing to Adonai. Oh, you righteous, it is fitting for the upright to offer praise. You don't just sit there like you're half asleep, do you? On Pisukei de Zimra on Shabbat morning? Let me go on. This is what the book says, not me. Acclaim God on the lute. Sing to Adonai with the 10-string harp. Play a new song to God. And let the shofar call. Inspire the music. Yes, I see instruments here. I wonder why we even say this if we don't do it. Did you ever ask yourself that when you look at that? Wait a minute. This is Shabbat. Why is this book telling me to play, sing to Adonai with a 10-stringed harp? Why don't we do that on Shabbat if it's in the book? That is my question. Well, I guess I had to do some exploring and find the answer. Because, you know, I keep getting all these wishy-washy answers about rabbinic Judaism, and that's the day and age we're in. We don't sing to God. I mean, we don't play instruments to God on Shabbat. Seriously? I mean, you know what? I've been to congregations that do have skilled instruments, musicians on Shabbat, and the house is full, packed with people. And then, in comparison, I go to this, I love my synagogue, but you know, if you go to Pisukei de Zimra service on Shabbat morning, there's not enough people for a minyan, no instruments. So you tell me what's going on. Okay, so let's go to Chabad and find out why. Like, I started doing some research, and I discovered that the Ashkenazis don't use instruments on Shabbat, but the Sephardis do. And that's not 100% true. It depends on the rabbis or the umbrella organization, you know? Okay, so Chabad, the title is, Why Can't We Connect to God Through Music on Shabbat? That's my big beef of the week. Question. Somebody's writing into Chabad.org. Okay, I used to go to temple where they would play musical instruments during the Friday night service. I've since joined an Orthodox congregation, but I think that listening to music and song while connecting to God is one thing I long for the most, which is absent in Orthodox congregations. Was it always prohibited to play musical instruments on Shabbat? If so, why is there explicit mention of singing and playing musical instruments on Shabbat? For example, in Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. Ah, another one that is thinking like me. I think the excerpt that I read was Psalm 33. So, yeah, I think it's a good question, not because I'm asking it, but I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, what's up with this? No instruments. Okay, so here's the answer, according to Chabad. Music was an essential part of some of the services in the Holy Temple. And since, as you point out, music enhances the environment and one's emotional as well as spiritual state, music accompanied even those temple rituals that didn't essentially require musical accompaniment. Nevertheless, at some point, most likely during the Second Temple era, it was decided that musical instruments should not be played on Shabbat. Seriously? Who are those people? I'd like to know who they were. Okay, anyway, it doesn't say. But the reason is, this is the reason. An instrumentalist swept away by the rapture of his music. Do you think King David or David was raptured away with his music? May come to replace a snap string or otherwise repair his instrument, an act which is biblically prohibited on Shabbat. And why is it prohibited? Because it says, repairing a utensil is one of the 39 categories of activities forbidden on Shabbat. So really, instead of like honoring the Psalms and telling the skilled person, either if you snap a string, don't repair it because that's a violation of Torah. Okay. You can either play without it and just sing and lead the congregation, or you can have a spare guitar and just switch guitars. There you have it, because the Psalms support using an instrument for God to praise God. We read it in our Siddur every Shabbat. But, you know, it's like, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what's going on here, in my humble opinion. Okay, if you break a string, you know, you can't fix it. So we won't have any instruments. Ah, as I continue on, I should add that any rabbinic enactment or decree remains in effect until a rabbinic court of greater stature and numbers than the one that initiated it reviews the case, regardless of what the reasons may be behind it. One of the reasons for this restriction is that not everyone can truly understand all the reasoning behind the original decision. I don't. There's not enough information to understand it. And everything in my heart and soul tells me it's okay to play an instrument to God if you're playing to God and not to stroke your ego. And I can see by discerning, you ask Hashem for discernment. If somebody's playing to get the pat on the back from the congregation, you can see the ego. I can see it. And it's very ugly. Unfortunately, it happens like 85% of the time in any prayer service. You'll see somebody up there that's... And what happens is, let's say they shred somebody in the rock world. Then, you know, people start looking at the person's talent instead of looking to God in prayer, because that person is drawing attention to themselves. Like I had this, I went up and sang with the rabbi, and this girl that I guess in the congregation came after I finished singing, she said to me something about a performance. And I said, I don't perform. That seems to be a word in rabbinic Judaism today that means you're up there leading the congregation, you're performing. No, I'm not. Performance to me is getting up and entertaining people. That's not what I am doing. That's not what anybody should be doing, is getting up there leading a choir, a congregation, or whatever, and entertaining people so they can just sit there and feel good. That's not what it's about. Prayer, Tefillah, takes work. Ah, good morning, Marty. Boker Tov, he says. He's over there in Twitch. I'm glad to hear you. I'm on a rant, so it's probably good you missed the, you missed the previous part. So I'm just saying, Marty, why can't we have instruments on Shabbat in the congregation when I've seen there's more people attending a service? When, like, say, okay, who have I seen? Deborah Sachs Mintz or Joey Weisenberg. No doubt every one of them are worshiping God with their instrument and voice. No doubt. Rare indeed. But there are people out there, and rabbis should have the discernment to select the instrumentalists that honor God, that they're not up there showtime. It's a really touchy. Anyway. All right. So this kind of rabbinical enactment, a prohibition designed to prevent desecration of Shabbat, is called, in Talmudic parlance, a shvut. S-H-V-U-T. Say that with me. Shvut. Shvut, in general, a shvut does not apply in the Holy Temple, since it was assumed that those working in the temple were careful, did not require preventive measures. But this shvut, however, was an exception. Instrumental music was not played on the Shabbat during any ritual or service of which it was not an essential component. And although there is debate in the Talmud As to which services require music and for which services was merely an enhancement, the fact remains that wherever it was non-essential to the service, music was not played in the Holy Temple on Shabbat. Okay, perhaps one could understand this better based on a distinction made by one of my favorite rabbis, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, between instrumentally produced music called zemer and vocally produced music or song called shir. So shir, singing, zemer, music, instruments. Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains that while both angels and souls sing praise to the Almighty, there is a difference between the two forms of praise. Angels, though not physically like earthly creatures, are nonetheless bound within some numinous ethereal body. Therefore, their song is also invested within the medium of that body. Okay, I'd be scratching my head about now thinking, what was that? But I'm going to go fast because we're running out of time. This is why their song is audible to the refined ears of the prophet. Ah, there was a time when prophets could hear the angelic voices. As we describe in our daily prayers, the angels offer their praise with great pomp and ceremony together with mighty fanfare. And the Ophanim and the Holy Chayot, with a mighty sound, rise toward the Seraphim and facing them offer praise. And if you're standing with my husband and he reads that part of the Kedusha where we say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts," he gets loud because he knows this part of the scripture. Yes, soul praise, on the other hand, is an entirely different kind of music. It is purely spiritual, unadulterated by any medium, nothing more than expression of the simple desire of the soul to rise up in its praise, surrendering its existence to be reunited with its source. And that's what musicians need to do, is teach the congregation, you're not looking at me because I'm a musician, you're looking at God. In other words, instrumental music is music of the body, and song is the music of the soul. Good Lord. Okay, so it goes. Let me wrap this up. In the Holy Temple, the revelation of godly light was extreme enough to contain both the source of souls of angels, which is why there was both instrumental music as well as song. Okay, and if you want to know more about this, because I'm not going to keep reading it because it's very frustrating, you can go to Chabad.org. And the name of this article again is Why Can't We Connect to God Through Music on the Shabbat? Especially when it says in HaSidur that we even say with our voices that you can sing and praise God with a lute and the instrument. And, you know, why don't we do what it says to do? And then you wonder why this less than a dozen people on Pisukei Dezimra on Shabbat morning, because not even enough for a minyan, because it's a dry, where's the robust singing? Woo-hoo! You don't go in there with all your guns and whistles and start yelling at, and no, it's not like that, but you're supposed to stir yourself up when you go in there on Shabbat morning. You are maybe feeling the weight of the world. A lot of us are, again, because of the issues in the world today. But, you know, it's an effort. It's work. We work to elevate our praise. And if you're just sitting there and the cantor's up there going, seriously, at warp speed. And anyway, okay. Marty says, I get loud at Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh because this repetitive address is sung by angels in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen to that. So, you know, I'm just saying, don't you want to get closer to God? It's, you know, from glory to glory, but Selam Elohim, we are transformed. If you leave the service on Shabbat the same as you entered, you haven't sung loud enough, as Rabbi Danny says. If you don't know the words, just sing louder. All right? Sing from your heart. Don't give excuses about why you can't sing anymore. This is not good for you nor the rest of the congregation when you hold back. Take a few vocal lessons. Marty says, I always leave better. Amen to that. Okay, well, guess what? I think it's tonight is a Rosh Chodesh, okay? And the women, that's another thing. The women need, we're granted the honor of celebrating Rosh Chodesh, the first of the new month, because they didn't give their jewelry at Mount Sinai when they were making the golden calf. The women did not give the jewelry. So God blessed the women by having them celebrate Rosh Chodesh, okay? So what do you do on Rosh Chodesh to celebrate? I hope with singing and instruments. Isn't that what we do? The Bible is full of singing. So if you're like not singing to God because you've made these excuses about why you can't, you know, there needs to be more teaching. Seriously, people. Okay, so let's get into the song that is traditionally sung on Rosh Chodesh. And again, if you have the Lev Shalem, let's look at the page because, well, you know, do we look at this page on the first and sing page 114 on Rosh Chodesh? This is what it says, on which we should say. Okay. Let me praise Adonai. For you, Adonai, my God, are surely great, clothed in glory and majesty, wrapped in a cloak of light. And you can read this psalm. Hopefully you have a resource. If you don't, I will play my recording of Psalm 104 and just ask God to show you the way. Show you where you need to be in the congregation, what gift he has given you to share with the congregation to create unity. And Marty says, since this is a leap year, we celebrate Rosh Chodesh 2 days in a row. Whoa. Okay. So let me find it. And I thank you for listening. And if you need to wake up your congregation leaders, maybe you might want to share this with them if you don't have the guts to, or you don't know how to say it, you know, share this with them and have a meeting about it, you know, seriously. Okay. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you again next Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on A Story and a Song. Are refuge.